Radio Prague News.
Opposition groups will stage an anti-government protest in Prague on the 22nd of May. The Czech Education Ministry has revised the results of this year's school leaving exams in mass that were considered too difficult. And the manager of the Czech national football team has announced the nominations for the upcoming Euro 2012. Czech opposition groups on Monday announced details of their protest against the government's austerity measures planned for the 22nd of May. Members of trade unions and several dozen NGOs associated in the Stop the Government group will stage a march through the capital that will end in front of the government building. The activists are also planning several other events, including the occupation of several ministerial buildings, which should take place in May and June, while Czech trade unions are considering a large-scale strike later this month. In related news, some 74% of Czechs do not agree with the reforms carried out by the country's centre-right government, according to a poll by the STEM agency released on Monday. However, approximately the same number of people recognises the necessity to reform the social, healthcare and tax systems. 24% of respondents said they agreed with the cabinet's reform efforts, which is 2% more than last year. The Czech Education Ministry on Monday revised the results of this year's school leaving exams in mass, which were considered too difficult, and students were reportedly given too little time to sit them. Under the revised results, some 2.8% of students failed the tests, while originally 16.8% failed them. Education Minister Petr Fiala had earlier apologized to students for the problems. A 3.7-kilometre-long stretch of the D8 motorway between Lovosice and Bílinka in North Bohemia opened for traffic on Monday. The new road is expected to alleviate heavy traffic within the town Lovosice. The newly opened part of the motorway cost around 3 billion crowns. The complete D8 motorway between Prague and the German border should open in 2016. Two people died in a helicopter crash near České Budějovice in the south of the country on Monday. The accident occurred at around 2 p.m. when a two-seat Robinson R-22 light helicopter crash-landed in a field and caught fire, a police spokesman said. The director of the České Budějovice airfield said both victims were experienced pilots. The authorities are now investigating the causes of the accident. The Prague Spring International Music Festival on Monday features a concert by the Agon Orchestra dedicated to the composer and music theorist John Cage. The concert, conducted by Petr Kofroň, will be held at the National Technical Museum among historic airplanes, cars and other vehicles. Besides several compositions, which will have their Czech premiere at the concert, the ensemble will also play John Cage's composition Imaginary Landscape No. 4, dedicated to 12 radio sets tuned to different stations. The manager of the Czech national football team, Michal Bílek, on Monday announced his picks for the upcoming Euro 2012. The 23 nominees include Arsenal midfielder Tomáš Rosický, goalkeeper Petr Čech from Chelsea, and strikers Milan Baroš from Galatasaray and Tomáš Necid from CSKA Moscow. Coach Bílek also picked 7 players from the Czech top division, including midfielders Daniel Kolář, Milan Petržela and Václav Pilař from Viktoria Plzeň, and the best Gambrinus Liga striker David Lafata from Jablonec. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The coming days will be partially overcast with rain showers in places and daytime highs of around 16 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter and it's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, the government moves to dump a costly electronic health records project and the latest from the world of Czech sports. After that, Jan Richter's guest on One-on-One will take us mushroom hunting and we'll end the show as usual with another Czech lesson. So do please stay with us. The Czech government has announced its decision to dump a costly electronic health records project launched 10 years ago. The project, which was to facilitate communication between doctors regarding treatment of individual patients, failed to get off the ground properly and was frequently criticized for lack of transparency. Subsidized by the state-controlled insurer VZP, the country's largest health insurance company, it proved inefficient and in many ways disadvantageous. Critics say it contains random records since doctors were not properly motivated to use it and moreover was only available to VZP clients. The insurer moreover outsourced the project to a joint stock company established by two then Civic Democrat deputies, now MEPs, who later sold their shares to a little-known Swiss company, fueling speculation regarding a conflict of interests and abuse of funds. After years of controversy regarding ISIP's viability, the centre-right government last week announced its decision not to protract the agony further, saying the project would be definitively scrapped by the end of the year. With a 51% stake in the ISIP company, the board of the state-controlled insurer has the leverage to push that painful decision through. Health Minister Leos Heger says that while electronic health records were still in the pipeline, they would not be based on the ill-fated ISIP project.
ISIP doubtless had a number of advantages, but as far as the big picture is concerned, it failed to meet the set goals, and it certainly failed to show adequate results for the money spent.
The money spent is a staggering 1.8 billion crowns, and the opposition says it wants to know who is to blame for the money squandered. Social Democrat leader Bohuslav Sobotka has demanded the setting up of a special parliamentary commission to deal with the matter. Minister Heger is likewise of the opinion that ISIP should be investigated, but he says he is in favour of a standard investigation by the police. He has not ruled out filing a criminal complaint against an unknown culprit should there be sufficient evidence of mismanagement of funds. In the meantime, the minister is busy outlining conditions for a tender on a new nationwide electronic health records project that would help take the country's healthcare into the 21st century. Rather than leaving the task in the hands of one insurer, he wants to link up a complex system of already existing databases run by hospitals, GPs and specialists, and make it compulsory, most likely through an amendment to the law, for doctors to use the new system once it is up and running. Since, according to the minister's words, nothing can be salvaged from the ill-fated ISIP, the new project will once again cost taxpayers billions of crowns. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, and this being Monday, we bring you a round of the sports news with Jan Wellinger.
And there's lots to discuss in this edition of the sport. Lots of headlines. We begin first with football. The Club Liberec won the Czech football title on Saturday after drawing 0-0 against Viktoria Plzeň in the final round of the top division. The visiting team and defending champions Plzeň needed a win to clinch the title but failed to convert several chances, hitting the post, for example, in the dying minutes of the match. Both clubs were in contention for the title, but the result means Plzeň finished third in the standings behind Sparta, who led for much of the season, and of course behind league champions Liberec. Sparta Prague beat České Budějovice 3-0 in the final round at the weekend to secure second place. Meanwhile, two Prague clubs, Bohemians 1905 and Viktoria Žižkov, could not escape relegation and will begin next season in the second division. Further abroad in the English Premier League, London club Arsenal beat West Brom 3-2 at the weekend to finish third overall in the standings. The result means the club, which is home to Czech star midfielder and captain of the Czech national squad, Tomáš Rosický, has secured a berth in next year's Champions League. Another London club with famous Czech goalie Petr Cech, Chelsea, finished sixth in the league but could secure the Spurs spot in the Champions League next year if Cech and co. win the upcoming final against Bayern Munich that takes place in Munich on Saturday, May 19th. Petr Cech will have a second chance to try and secure the prestigious club title with Chelsea. In 2008, he came close, but the team lost to Manchester United on penalty kicks. Of course, this weekend saw the Prague International Marathon, and it was Ethiopia's Deressa Chimsa and Agnes Kiprop from Kenya who won on Sunday. The Ethiopian runner covered the distance in 2 hours, 6 minutes and 25 seconds, finishing less than a minute behind the official track record. Agnes Kiprop finished the race with 2 hours, 25 minutes, 40 seconds. The best Czech runner, Jan Kresinger, finished 13th, 4 seconds within the Olympic limit. Of note, retired footballer and former Juventus Turin star Pavel Nedved took part in his first ever marathon. He ran the 42-plus kilometer race in 3 hours, 50 minutes and 2 seconds, reportedly with enough energy to sprint at the finish. Overall, some 9,000 runners took part in this year's event. Turning to hockey, the national hockey team finally showed a bit more spark offensively at the World Championship in ice hockey hosted by Sweden and Finland. Unfortunately, it was only against lowly Italy. They outscored 6-0. In their next match, the Czechs played well but were unable to get on the scoreboard. That was against Russia, and they lost 2-0. The Czechs remain third in the Stockholm group and face Germany on Tuesday. And finally, turning to tennis, and Tomáš Berdych clinched the first set at the Madrid Open final but was unable to secure a second against Roger Federer, who posted an impressive comeback. Berdych, the world number 7, took the first set 3-6, but he lost the last two 7-5, 7-5 against the Swiss. Federer now replaces Rafa Nadal as world number 2. It's the 11th time Federer has beaten Berdych. The win earned him not only the title, but a framed Men in Black suit from actor Will Smith. That's all the sport for today.
My thanks to Jan Wellinger for that sports report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for One-on-One, where we look at a favourite national pastime.
With mushroom picking season in full swing, our guest in this edition of One-on-One is Jan Borovička, a leading member of the Czech Mycological Society, who combines a very Czech hobby of mushroom picking with his profession of geochemist at the Czech Academy of Sciences. How has the internet changed mushroom picking? Why are mushrooms safe to eat even after Chernobyl and Fukushima? And most importantly, where are the best spots to find them? These are some of the issues we discussed with Jan Borovička, who says this year's mushroom picking season did not start out that great.
This year is a little bit strange because everything seems to be somewhat delayed. The spring season was very poor, but likely because of the weather conditions, but now we've got a lot of rain, so it seems mushrooms start to grow.
Do they grow all over the Czech Republic, or are there any areas where right now are the places to go?
Of course, the situation might differ from forest to forest, so it's quite difficult to say where it is the best to go.
Well, Czechs like to believe that they are the nation of mushroom pickers. Is that true in your opinion, or is it a popular activity in other European countries as well?
Indeed, mushroom picking in the wild is a very popular hobby in the Czech Republic, and the Czech people know a lot of edible species. In contrast to countries like Great Britain, we adore mushroom picking in the country, and we find this very relaxing, and of course we like eating such wild-grown mushrooms. But sometimes we forget that we are not the only nation interested in mushrooms. Mushroom picking in general is very popular in Eastern European countries, and there are also many regions in Italy, France, Germany, Switzerland and Spain where people like mushrooms picking in the wild. And in contrast to our country, mushrooms are sold in the markets there.
Have Czech mushroom picking habits changed at all over the last 20 years since the fall of communism?
I don't think there is some notable change, but there is one new phenomenon, the internet, with many pieces of information on mushrooms and many photos, and also with communities, forums, and specialized web pages. So this is something new, and it has grown rapidly in recent years.
What kind of information do they exchange there?
They usually share their own experience and the photographs. And sometimes they discuss their finds, and sometimes it seems like a competition who is the best collector.
Well, recently a Czech insecticide producer came with a map called Mykomapa, or Mycological Map, which was supposed to tell people where mushrooms were growing at a given moment, at a given time. Can that work, or is that just a marketing trick by the company, do you think?
I don't think so. Mushroom picking is similar to fishing or hunting. You never know what you find, and the growing conditions may differ from forest to forest. So I think this is just one of the thousand silly products of the consumer's society.
You are on the board of the Czech Mycological Society, which often advise mushroom pickers on all kinds of questions. What are the most common inquiries that you get?
Oh, there are always plenty of questions, and it is difficult to decide which is the most frequent, but people often need to know how to recognize edible and poisonous species. Because some favorite edible mushrooms have a dangerous poisonous twin or more twins, and so you must know what the differences are.
Are people, would you say, better informed now with the internet and, you know, the sort of immediate access to information?
I would be very careful to use internet for some, because you know, you never know the origin of the information you find. So I would recommend to use books, because the information in the book is always better than on the website.
You have dismissed a recent viral email which warned against mushrooms on the grounds that they could be contaminated in relation to the Fukushima nuclear accident. Are mushrooms safe to eat today, given the rising levels of pollution, of course? Would you say that it's as safe as it was 100 years ago?
With regard to radioactivity, mushrooms contain some natural radionuclides, especially the isotope potassium-40. But this is safe because it's a naturally occurring element. But in the 1970s, we detected artificial radionuclides escaped during the tests of nuclear weapons, and later also from the Chernobyl fallout. That was especially the isotope cesium-137. But in general, the concentrations found in common edible mushrooms in Central and Western Europe do not represent a risk for mushroom consumers.
Was it safe in the months and years immediately after the Chernobyl disaster, or those nuclear weapon tests you were talking about? Was it safe to eat mushrooms that you found in the forest?
The problem with mushroom radioactivity was a little bit delayed, because it depends on the migration of the radionuclides in the soil horizon, yeah? So after the fallout, it took 1 or 2 years, and then the radioactivity appeared also in the mushroom food bodies. But it is very interesting phenomenon that some mushrooms take up the radioactivity and some do not. Nowadays, we can still find some species that are highly active, but the common edible species which you can bring from the forest do not represent a risk.
Towards the end of the 1980s, people were saying that because of the rising pollution, some edible mushrooms, some species of edible mushrooms disappeared. I'm not sure what you call those really nice orange small mushrooms that people put in soups, but these almost disappeared from Czech forest. What's the situation like today?
Yes, there was a strong decrease of mushroom growth in the second half of the 20th century. And some species, including many edible and popular ones, almost disappeared from their natural habitats. But this was likely caused by the acid rain and subsequent changes of soil chemistry and the ability of mushrooms to live together with their plant symbionts. But fortunately, now it seems that many of those species appear again, and I hope this trend will last.
Well, here in the Czech Republic, Our president is one of the most vocal opponents of the theory of global warming. Do you observe any changes to the mushroom growing patterns that might perhaps be caused by this phenomenon?
Mushrooms are rather conservative organisms, and we also have not a lot of data, but I think it is too early to decide if there is any influence or not. I don't think so.
By profession, you are a geochemist. You work at the Czech Academy of Sciences Institute of Nuclear Physics. How did you become a mushroom expert?
I have always been interested in mushrooms, so I used to go a lot in the forest with my parents, and I used to study books, and I have also always been interested in geology and minerals and stones and rocks, and later I have realized that the world of mushrooms and the world of geology and rocks is connected together. And so I am a geochemist, so I'm interested in the behavior of chemical elements in the environment, and especially I'm interested in the interactions between elements like heavy metals and noble metals also, and fungi.
When you were deciding about what career you would choose and which university you'd go to study, did you ever consider becoming a mycologist?
In fact, I wanted to be a journalist, but later I had decided to study science because I think it's much fun, and I have always wanted to start with geochemistry and geology. So mushrooms were just a field of my research later.
You're a native of Prague. Where would you go with your parents to pick mushrooms? Did you go somewhere around the city, or would you go further away in the countryside?
I have a favorite area. It's about 50 kilometers from Prague, near the river Sázava, and it was it's a country of my childhood, and I still go there.
Now, some of our listeners who might be living in Prague and have never gone mushroom picking might be interested to go and see and try it for themselves. Where would you recommend to go? Where are the easiest places to find some nice edible mushrooms?
Oh, that's not easy to answer, because there are many places, and it always depends on weather conditions. So in spring, or better in summer season, I would recommend some area near Český Krasť, Czech Karst. It's a warm landscape and with a lot of sun, and so there is a chance to get some good finds. And later in the season, in autumn, I would recommend some areas, for example, in the highland.
I was really surprised when you told me that you don't like eating mushrooms. What is it about them that you don't like?
I admit that I don't eat mushrooms a lot, but I like them. For example, I like dried mushrooms in soup, and I have several very special favorite mushrooms that I like to eat, but in general I cannot say that I would be a very big mushroom fan.
Mycologist Jan Borovička was Jan Richter's guest on One-on-One, and that edition of Unpopular Feature was first broadcast in June of last year. Now, in the final part of today's program, here's a Czech lesson from Radio Prague's popular ABC series, which we are currently rebroadcasting.
Ahoy, and welcome to ABC of Czech, Radio Prague's special language program. I am Heather Bowne, and
Dita Asiedu
joins me in the studio. Today we're looking at Czech surnames that come from physical descriptions as well as descriptions of personality. Let's start right on top with head.
Hlava.
We find two surnames related to the word for head. The obvious one is
hlava
itself. But be careful not to confuse the origin of
hlava
with the name of the former president,
Havel,
which comes from the first name
Havel,
which has a Latin origin, is the Czech name for Gallus. The same goes for
Havlíček,
a diminutive of
Havel.
Oh, but wait, I forgot what we might find on top of the head. There are two last names that are found in Czech referring to curly hair or a curly-headed person.
Kučeravý.
So from
Kučeravý,
we find
Kučera.
The second name,
Kraus,
does not come from Czech at all. It comes from the German adjective
Kraus
for curly. Another surname that is traced to hair and also sometimes skin color is
Černý
or
Černík
from the adjective black.
Černý.
At the time, the population was overwhelmingly fair, and the names
Černý
or
Černík
were given to people who had darker skin or darker hair. Sometimes the German word for black,
Schwarz,
is found in Czech as a surname as well, but it is usually spelled
Schwarz.
S with a Hacek, V-A-R-C. While we are on the topic of skin, do you know the Czech adjective for red? You got it.
Červený.
And from that we find the surname
Červenka,
meaning someone who is red in the face. But
Červenka
could also be for someone who blushes.
Červenace.
Frequently. How about other facial features or names related to facial actions?
Hovorka.
The surname for someone who is overly talkative.
Hovorka
comes from the verb
hovořit,
meaning to talk or to discuss. The surname
Huba,
while meaning literally mouth, more specifically snout, certainly has mixed origins. To say shut up in Czech, you say
Drž hubu,
hold your mouth. A sharp tongue is
Huba jako břitva,
literally mouth like a razor. The surnames
Noha
and
Noška
are also found in Czech. They both come from the Czech word for foot.
Noha.
Apparently, the name
Noha
was for someone with a big foot, while
Noška,
the diminutive, was for someone with especially small feet. Of course, there was no name for someone with average feet, because surnames like these were always given to the exception. That is all for today's program of ABC of Czech. Thanks for listening, and take care.
Mějte se.
That edition of ABC brings us to the end of today's program, and of course you can find it on Prague's webpage along with all our programs in text and sound. The address is easy to remember. It's radio.cz, www.radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. As always, this is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.